At least 400 of those were killed in attacks on Shaja'iya and Jabalia refugee camps. The latest attacks targeted the house in Al-Junayh area in Rafah in southern Gaza, leaving several dead. Many people also lost their lives and were injured when a house was targeted by Israeli forces in Al-Barij camp in the center of the Gaza Strip. Israel has also been continuing attacks in the eastern areas of Khan Yunis in southern Gaza. Continuous explosions are also heard in northern areas of Gaza. The death toll in the besieged territory since October 7th is now around 16,000. Most of the victims are women and children. The Gaza Health Ministry is saying that Israeli forces have deliberately targeted 130 health facilities and put 20 hospitals out of service. Okay, now let's cross over to Khan Yunis in Gaza. Ashraf Shannon, our correspondent, is there, covering everything happening there live for us. Ashraf, good to have you with us. So tell us, even the area you're reporting from, Khan Yunis, was hit, and this Jabalia refugee camp we hear, there were hundreds of people killed there.
Yes, Behrouz, Israel's committed dozens of massacres since yesterday, killing over 700 people. And the number is likely to rise as there are hundreds of injuries. They've wiped off the map entire neighborhoods in the Jabalia refugee camp and Shaja'iya, and also targeted hundreds of homes all over the Gaza Strip, not only in the Jabalia refugee camp and Shaja'iya in Gaza City and the northern parts of the Gaza Strip, but all throughout yesterday, almost everywhere, especially in Khan Yunis, everywhere there's an airstrike. There is a fatality or two here and there. In total, around 800 people have been killed so far since yesterday. 700, within 24 hours. But until this moment, the number probably much higher than 800. Israel is committing massacres left and right. Israel doesn't care about international law. Israel is not worried about the ICC or the International Criminal Court. Israel knows that it has the full backing of the United States and Western countries in its ongoing extermination of the Palestinian people and in its attempt to move out or throw out more than 2.3 million Palestinians from the Gaza Strip towards the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt. This is a plan. This is the Israeli plan from the beginning. But those Palestinians who are fighting back, I'm talking about the civilians now, fighting back and refusing to leave, they're being killed almost every minute, every hour of the day. There is deaths. More than 60% of those who were killed are children and women, and children. Almost everywhere you go, either a child has been killed or a bunch of children have been maimed for life. A lot of amputees among the children. Because hospitals in Gaza are unable to treat those injuries because Israel uses internationally banned weapons. They're using new weapons against the civilian population in Gaza. Many military experts I've talked to, they're telling me that Israel is using the Gaza Strip as a testing ground for its weapon and weapons, as also for the U.S. Made weapons, as most of the weapons used by the Israeli regime are American made. In addition to that, we've learned yesterday that the United Kingdom is providing a drone surveillance for the Israeli regime in the skies of the Gaza Strip. They're saying that those drones are not armed. But who knows what's the truth is? Who knows who's been bombing us since day one? Maybe it's the Americans, the British, the Emiratis, and of course the Israelis.
Right. Ashraf, now that this aggression has resumed and Gaza is being pounded in different ways, airstrikes, artillery shelling and all that, tell us about the situation of aid. Is any aid reaching there?
Well, yes, despite the failure of the humanitarian pause, Around 100 trucks are making their way through Rafah crossing every day, and this is according to the International Committee of the Red Crescent. And but as I said earlier, and in many news bulletins, most of the aid that's coming in is blankets, small mattresses, mineral water, and some canned food. Nothing mm-hmm. that's really needed by the hospitals is coming in, whether these days or in previous days. Hospitals in Gaza need hospitals in order to function. Can you imagine when the Ministry of Health is calling for the international community and the WHO to provide them with field hospitals to put them inside the hospitals themselves? Uh-huh. And also have the Jordanian hospital is right across the street from Nasser Hospital. So a lot of cases that are not treated here, they take them to the Jordanian hospital for treatment.
Okay. Also tell us about how the resistance fighters, Hamas and other resistance fighters, have reacted to this resumption of atrocities. Are they adamant to go on with the retaliatory attacks?
Well, the Behruz, the Palestinian resistance factions, mainly Hamas's military wing, the Zil Qassam brigades, have retaliated to the massacre of civilians by firing dozens of rockets towards Tel Aviv yesterday and towards areas near occupied Al-Quds. And around 5 a.m. this morning, they managed to, this is according to the Qassam brigades, they managed to ambush more than 80 Israeli soldiers, and they say that they have killed dozens of them. And this is a Johar Deek area in the central part of the Gaza Strip. And there's heavy clashes going on, even as we speak, between Hamas's military wing and the Israeli regime almost in every intersection throughout the Gaza Strip.
Mm-hmm. About food and water, because you had problems in finding these basic necessities to simply to be able to survive. Has there been any improvement?
No improvement whatsoever. And those who were lucky enough to get some food aid during the time of the humanitarian pause, most of them have sold whatever they got because they want to buy other things or sold some of it. So, for example, corned beef used to be, say, about $1. You get it now for 12 or 15 U.S. dollars. Mm-hmm. Prices have skyrocketed because there is no food available, and people are trying to get by it any way they can. Even during the humanitarian pause, they managed to bring in some cooking gas. And people, yes, some people managed to get some cooking gas, but most of people didn't, because 2.3 million people, that's a lot of people compared to with 100 trucks that come in daily.
That's right. All right, thank you so much for that live coverage. Ashraf Shannon, our correspondent, live for us in Khan Yunis, Gaza. Now, since October 7th, bakeries across the Gaza Strip have been one of the targets of Israeli attacks. Dozens of bakeries have been either bombed or gone out of service due to lack of fuel. The total siege imposed by Israel in the already blockaded territory continues. Food is running out and bread is becoming more difficult to get with every passing day. Several residents in Gaza City have constructed a makeshift bakery from iron sheets and firewood to make bread.
We were compelled to come here as there are no bakeries available. The people here who are our friends are baking bread to aid the community. Procuring flour is challenging for us, as a 20-kilogram bag costs around 300 to 400 shekels, which is a substantial amount. The people are suffering, as you can see.
In response to the catastrophic situation in the Gaza Strip, particularly in the northern region, we thought of a way to serve our community. We crafted this handmade with iron sheets to provide bread for people and their children to help them survive and fulfill their needs after all basic necessities were cut off. We first offered the service to the people in return for a symbolic amount which helps cover the cost of the firewood we collect. However, our efforts and manpower are solely dedicated for the sake of God and our community. We are people, we are human and humane. We urge the international community to pay attention to our bereaved people, who have sacrificed more victims and martyrs in the pursuit of freedom. We call on them not to apply double standards, but to grant Palestinians their right to a normal life. We seek attention for our cause, so that Palestinian children can smile like children everywhere else in the world, rather than being slaughtered unlike any other place in the world.
Now, the military wing of Hamas says it's killed a large number of intruding Israeli forces in Gaza. According to Al-Ghassan Brigades, it's targeted Israeli troops in the Johar Adik village south of Gaza City. An Israeli tank that was advancing on Jabalia in northern Gaza also came under attack by resistance forces. In the occupied West Bank, Palestinian fighters attacked an Israeli military camp in response to the regime's troops killing a Palestinian man there. The Israeli army says it's lost 75 soldiers since launching a ground invasion in Gaza, but resistance groups say that Tel Aviv is concealing the real number of its casualties. The head of the International Committee of Red Cross has warned of a dire situation in the Gaza Strip, saying the lack of essential supplies is pretty concerning.
Everything in Gaza is at a breaking point. Civilians are displaced. Numbers of injured people, severely injured people who are waiting for treatment in hospitals that also are reaching a breaking point where nurses and doctors have been working 24/7 with very limited resources. So, of course, we're doing everything we can to support the provision of healthcare. People are living in constant fear of violent death. People are struggling to survive with now, again, little food and water because of the resumption of the fighting. And in all likelihood, having aid getting inside Gaza will become automatically more challenging. So, of course, it's a matter of grave concern to us. Well, we don't have precise reports, but what I can say is the resumption of fighting was intense again. And of course, it's a new layer of destruction coming on top of massive and unparalleled.
The grandson of anti-apartheid hero Nelson Mandela has called for the international mobilization of resources and arms for Palestinian resistance to defeat Israel. He said that this would have been his grandfather's approach. He was speaking on the first day of the 5th Global Convention of Solidarity with Palestine in Johannesburg. The Congress brings together 150 activists and icons from Palestine across the world. The South African Member of Parliament described Israel as a brutal apartheid regime. Mandela said that Israel and its allies, the U.S. and the U.K., are waging a propaganda campaign to distort the Palestinian cause. He added the Palestinian diaspora must counter this plot by disseminating the details of the Israeli atrocities worldwide. Mandela also called on Arab states to go beyond paying lip service to the Palestinian cause and impose sanctions on Israel. Now, corporate support for Israel has grown increasingly costly for Western companies as a boycott campaign is spreading globally. American coffee chain Starbucks and Swedish clothing brand H&M have been forced to cease operations in Morocco from mid-December. The decision came after two companies saw a major decline in customers due to a boycott move. The campaign has already targeted many other Western companies due to financial ties with Israel or their pro-Israel stances. Several branches of companies like McDonald's, KFC, and Coca-Cola are now grappling with the impact of the campaign in many countries. It's fastest-spreading countries, mostly in the Arab world, where anti-Israel sentiments have traditionally been high. The U.S. Defense Secretary has stressed his country's support for Tel Aviv as the regime continues to unleash atrocities in Gaza. Speaking at Ronald Reagan National Defense Forum, Lloyd Austin sought to dispel doubts that Washington can afford military support for both Tel Aviv in the war on Gaza and Kiev in a conflict with Russia. He said that the U.S. can, in his words, direct resources to multiple theaters. Austin vowed that his country would not allow the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas or Russian President Putin to win. Washington currently supplies Tel Aviv with nearly $3.8 billion in military assistance annually. The White House also asked Congress for an additional $14 billion for Israel. And that will focus on providing air and missile support and replenishing U.S. military stockpiles given to Israel. That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of life.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, December 2nd, 2023. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is broadcast on Sundays. This is a program where your views are presented through your emails, letters, and messages. So, as we always say, please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. And here we are with you with another edition of Listeners Special. And of course, we've received reception reports from around the world, from Tausif Abbas from Pakistan, from Tarek from Bangladesh, and from Rob den Boer from the Netherlands. So Tausif Abbas, Tarek, and Rob den Boer, Many thanks for sending these reception reports to us at IRIB English Radio and Listeners' Special Program. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. So let's see who has sent us email. We have an email from Ayush Kumar from India. Igor Belevich, one of our old and regular listeners from Belarus, has sent us a piece of email. From Spain, Diego Garcia Diaz, one of our regular listeners, has sent us a piece of email. Mukesh Kumar from India has also sent us a piece of email. And from Italy, we've received an email from Maurizio Vecchi. Many thanks for being with us. After a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and Ayush Kumar from India has sent us an email. Ayush says, "Dear sir or madam, I want to say that the reception report is enclosed to this email. Please issue a QSL card or eQSL to verify them. Also send me some new programs guide and other promotional items if possible. I hope you will send me a letter as soon as possible. Thank you and best regards." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Ayush Kumar from India, and thank you very much for writing to us. Ayush Kumar from India, any criticism or suggestion is always welcome, so please let us know your views about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the most. Of course, an electronic QSL or eQSL will soon be sent to you as verification to this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So, here we have an email from Igor Blevich. Igor Blevich is from Belarus, and he is one of our regular listeners. Igor says, "Hello, my friends from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I received your signals in Belarus in English on shortwave. I'm glad to listen to IRIB in English on shortwave. I use analog SW radio receiver. Salam and warm greetings to you, and many thanks for sending this email to IRIB English Radio and Listeners' Special Program. Igor Belevich from Belarus. It's good to hear that you could catch the signals of IRIB English Radio in Belarus. And it's good to know that you were able to receive the signals on shortwave via analog SW radio receiver, which is a kind of, you know, the traditional kind of receiving radio waves, which is mostly interested by our listeners around the world, particularly me, myself. So please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. Igor Blevich from Belarus, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we are reading your emails, dear listeners. From Spain, Diego Garcia Diaz has sent us a piece of email. Diego Garcia Diaz is one of our regular listeners and says, "Dear staff, my name is Diego Garcia Diaz, and I'm writing to you from Spain. I'd like to receive QSL if it is possible. I don't know if you send QSL on paper or by post. If it isn't possible, I'd like to receive an eQSL. Thank you very much for your attention." Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Diego Garcia Diaz from Spain. Appreciations to you for sending this email to us. and please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. Diego, we wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you soon. We have another email from India, but this time is from Mukesh Kumar. Mukesh Kumar from India says, "Dear sir or madam, greetings. I and my club are English radio enthusiasts. On behalf of all our club members, I send our love to you via this email. God bless you. A very warm salam and greetings to you from Iran, Mukesh Kumar from India. Thank you very much for writing to us. Please send our greetings to your club members, Mukesh Kumar from India, and please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you and your club members all the best and also like. And God bless you too. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. After a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Maurizio Vecci from Italy. Maurizio says, "Dear friends of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, here is my report on reception of your station. I would appreciate if you can check out your station log. If my report is correct, I would be grateful to receive in return your station QSL card. The broadcast was in English, and the presenter was talking about Iran's news. Let me also mention that I've been in Iran 3 times and I would like to travel again anytime. Thank you for taking time to read my email from Italy. Yours sincerely. Salam and warm greetings to you from Iran. Maurizio Vecci from Italy, and many thanks for writing to us. Thank you for letting us know about the program you were listening. As you said, it was in English, and the presenter was talking about Iran's news. And it's interesting to know that you had been in Iran 3 times. It's great. And maybe another time you can be in Iran. And please, in your future letters or emails, tell us about your experiences in Iran. Yes. Tell us which tourist attractions you visited. Tell us what you ate and many other things about Iran. Beautiful Iran. Maurizio Vecci from Italy, thank you for everything. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Okay, time tells us that we have to say goodbye, but before saying goodbye to you, I would like to send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of you who kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails from around the world, including Tausif Abbas from Pakistan, Tarek from Bangladesh, Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, Ayush Kumar from India, Igor Belevich from Belarus, Diego Garcia Diaz from Spain, Mukesh Kumar from India, and Maurizio Vecci from Italy. Please keep in touch with us. Dear listeners of Listeners Special, we wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to your program For Humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program we talk about the concept of human being in the Holy Quran. In previous episode we talked about how much it is important for the perfection of human being to have righteous actions and to carry out the responsibilities that we have as a human being and to perform what distinguishes us from animals. Those are righteous acts. The acts that we intentionally choose to do and they're valuable in the assessment, in the overall journey that we have towards our perfection. And we talked about as much as these things are valuable and important, there are difficulty and there are obstacles and there are things that stop us from doing them. So some of them were, carnal desire of the soul. Another was shaitan. And then we talked about bad habits. And now we should talk a little bit about things that we need in order to carry out our responsibilities and to fight with those negative elements. And the first one that comes to mind when we recite and read the Holy Quran, that is one of the main and root virtues of the soul. So, you know, there are certain virtues of the soul, of human being in the Holy Quran, but some of them are the root of many others. So many other virtues are just branches of this one, or just the consequences and results of this one. What is that root virtue? That would be patience. So patience has been, and also different derivatives of patience have been used in the Holy Quran over 100 times. In different situations and in different ways. And maybe more than that, also it's used in the ahadith and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. So this is one thing to know what patience is. It's another thing to see how Quran sees patience. What role does Quran give to patience in the overall perfection of mankind? Now, with regards to the first question, what is patience? Some people, they have some misunderstanding because we have different concepts. One of them is patience. The other one is receptions of injustice. Some people think being patient means to receive injustice and to accept injustice and to be willing to receive injustice. Now, this is called indilam in Arabic, which means the acceptance of injustice and just be okay with it, that if people start doing injustice to you, then you wrong to you, you don't do anything. And no, this is not patience. As a matter of fact, patience is something that is compatible with resistance as well. Patience is, it's true that sometimes you do not react immediately because of the patience, but you are patient because you want to resist in the best possible way. So some people misunderstand patience with laziness because they're lazy. And if you remember, we talked about how Shaitan decorates bad things as good things. Like, the person cannot believe that I'm a lazy person, or cannot believe that I'm receptive of injustices. No, I'm patient. No, this is not patience, actually. Patience is different. It's when you are doing something intentionally, not that you react or overreact or react swiftly. No, that you have a plan, that you have some sort of solidness in your heart. This is important. Not just that when you let go of everything, you call it patience. Or sometimes the fear. Some people misunderstand patience with fear. No, patience means, especially, it is compatible with action. It is called active patience, not passive patience, which is somehow problematic sometimes. So this was good to know the first definition. I mean, to understand first what we talk about when we talk about patience, and then go to the verses of the Holy Quran, which we will do inshallah after a short break.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hussein Latifi, and you're listening to your program for Humanity from IRIB English Radio. We were talking about the concept of patience in the Holy Quran, and just some of the positive results of patience we go through. You have heard this, but it's important to always remind ourselves about the consequences and the fruits of this. So one of them is companionship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there are two kinds of companionship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is the general companionship. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with everyone, and they call it in Islamic theology مَعِيَّةْ قَيُّمِيَّةْ, which means companionship of, or let's say existential companionship. Because He is the creator of everything, He is always with everything. So that's the general companionship, and that is not what we mean here. There are a specific companionship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in different verses, وَمَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, for example, these people are a kind of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them. This being with these people is different than the ma'iyah, the companionship, the first one. Or for example, in a hadith we have أَنَا جَلِيسُ مَنْ ذَكَرَنِي, whoever remembers me, I am sitting with him, I befriend with him. Or about sabirin, about patient, people who have patience, we have this as well. وَاللَّهُمَا أَصَّابِرِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them. This is a specific companionship that is kind of honor. It's not that general existential companionship. And in another verse it says, وَاللَّهُ يُحَبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes sabirin. Again, we have two kinds of hope, or two kinds of rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is general, unconditional, which we call rahmah rahmaniyah, the name Rahman, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of this thing is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves it, He likes it, because it has that relationship with Allah, existential relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and somehow it is the manifestation of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is unconditional love of Allah. But then there is the conditional love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is reserved only for some people. Allahu yuhibbu al-muhsinin, for example, righteous people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes them in a different way, in a special way. And also sabirin, those people who are patient, those who show patience in difficulties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes them in a different way, in addition to that general love that he has for the whole of his creation. And there is another verse that says, if you think you can make it without patience, you're wrong. This is وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. ثواب الله, the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is better for those who have faith and who perform righteous action. وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا, people are not going to achieve it except through sabr, except through patience. No one gets and receives the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thawabullah, except those who show patience. It's not something for free. And the price for that reward is what? Is patience. So we also have other verses that describe patience and also different situations in which we have to show patience. Sometimes we need to be patient when other people attack us physically or attack us mentally and psychologically, like the way they attacked the prophets and the followers of the prophets in the previous nations. Or sometimes we need to be patient when people have different opinions and what to do in those situations. The patience that we must have in the obedience of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, in the following episode, we will talk about different categories and different situations in which patience is advised. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ali Nabi. We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The Biden administration is not showing serious resolve to stand up to violent settler activity in the West Bank. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, a State Department official told the Electronic Intifada recently that questions about Israeli regime's National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir reportedly giving instructions that Israeli police are not to enforce the law on settlers in the West Bank would have to be addressed to Minister Ben-Gvir and Israeli police. No words of criticism of the minister, a supporter of the racist Meir Kahane, were offered. The same response, Ask Ben-Gvir and Israeli police, was given to a question about the Zionist regime's police reportedly having closed out an investigation into a settler rampage against Palestinians in the town of Hawara. The U.S. State Department official offered nothing new when asked about President Joe Biden's recent Washington Post op-ed in which he wrote, I have been emphatic with Israel's leaders that extremist violence against Palestinians in the West Bank must stop and that those committing the violence must be held accountable. The United States is prepared to take our own steps, including issuing visa bans against extremists attacking civilians in the West Bank. The U.S. State Department official said, "We have been consistent and vocal publicly and directly with the government of Israel in our condemnation of extremist settler violence against Palestinian civilians." Yet these remain empty words without implementing meaningful actions. Biden's op-ed gives the impression of trying to appease democratic critics of the administration while, once again, substantive action is not taken. The U.S. State Department official added, and as President Biden has said, there must be accountability for settler violence, and we're prepared to take our own measures, including visa restrictions. There were no further specific details to preview at this stage. The Biden administration is once again back to kicking the can down the road. It's the same do-nothing policy the administration took for its first 2+ years in office, which ended disastrously for all involved. Without concrete measures, there is no reason to believe a word of Biden's op-ed when it comes to holding Israelis accountable for law-breaking. Netanyahu got a green light from Biden for violence against Gaza, and the White House spokesperson John Kirby announced no red lines. Now, at worst, Netanyahu's got a yellow light for the West Bank. As many drivers know, a yellow light isn't cautionary, but a signal to hit the gas. And the Israeli settlers are hitting the gas at the moment. Their actions have led to more than 1,000 Palestinians to flee their homes since October 7th. Biden's ally in the Zionist regime is ethnically cleansing Palestinians in both the West Bank and Gaza, where desperate people are already getting out if they can, and 1.7 million people are internally displaced and now being fatally shot at or injured if they try to return to their homes in the north of Gaza. All the while, a message of ethnic cleansing and the Zionist regime returning permanently to Gaza is being pushed by Zionist settlers and government officials. The president is even misrepresenting the humanitarian aid now going into Gaza, which used to be closer to 400 or even 500 trucks a day. The amount entering is still insufficient. Only a grassroots movement might move Biden away from support for further war crimes inflicted by the Zionist regime's apartheid, and settlers accountable to no one. The war's horrors may well still lie ahead if Netanyahu's determination to wipe out Gaza from north to south isn't stopped by the US and other countries. In the meantime, Reuters reported recently, Israeli Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich hit back at critics of the government's proposed wartime budget ahead of a vote that has already created a rift between centrists and far-right members of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet. Recently, centrist Minister Benny Gantz demanded that Netanyahu remove all political payouts from the new budget, saying they will harm the war effort. Those include so-called coalition funds intended for settlements in the occupied West Bank and for ultra-Orthodox Jewish education system. Smotrich said the funds going there, about 4.9 billion shekels, about $1.3 billion, according to the proposal, and down from a prior 5.8 billion, were being mislabeled, and that they would amount to less than 1% of the budget. He called the criticism a deceitful campaign spearheaded by hostile media. The row over devoting funds to settlements comes at a sensitive moment for the Zionist regime as it seeks to mobilize international support for the war in Gaza. There has been deep unease even among countries friendly to the Zionist regime, including the U.S. regime, about the continual expansion of Zionist settlements. Joseph Borrell, the EU's foreign policy chief, said that he was appalled at the funds. He said on X, "This is not self-defense and will not make Israel safer. The settlements are grave international humanitarian law breach, and they are Israel's greatest security liability."
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Option for today and a better tomorrow. IRIB English Radio. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been transmitted from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. This hadith is about the virtues of the Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. As you know, we are currently in the Ayyam Fatimiyah. These are the days in which it is popular to mourn the demise
and the martyrdom of the noble lady Fatimah Zahra, Salamullah Alayha. Because as you know, these days fall between 2 days, regarding which it has been narrated that that noble lady was martyred on either one of those 2 days. And because of that, we followers of the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah Alayhim, we mourn her demise in these days, in between these 2 days. And here at IRIB English Radio and Hadith of the Day, we would like to offer our condolences to our esteemed listeners on the demise of that most noble lady. In this session of Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a tradition in which one of the very wondrous virtues of that noble lady has been depicted. Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam said, the lady Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, her obedience is incumbent and it is an obligation upon all of the creatures of God, from the jinn to the human beings. Right? So first of all, the Imam said that all of the beings in this world that possess reason and are mukallaf, religiously responsible, and you know, have a higher level of awareness and consciousness, these beings are obliged to follow the orders and to obey the Lady Fatimah al-Zahra. Then he said, as well as the birds and the wild animals. And so here he mentions, you know, the fact that, you know, even the animals and the beings who possess a lower level of intelligence than human beings and do not possess free will in the proper sense of the term, these beings were also obliged to follow her and to obey her. Then he continued and said, as well as the prophets and the angels, even the prophets and the angels, they who are beings who are above the previous two groups that he mentioned, these beings are also obliged to follow her orders and obey her and show her their respect to her. So which it kind of implies that they are under her in rank, of course bearing, and with the exception of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this shows her a very high rank in the eyes of God, that you know, he made her obedience to her obligatory upon all of creation. It's also interesting to note that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's been narrated that whenever she would enter the room, he would stand up out of respect for her. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtues of the Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, in the words of Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This one lay.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
And welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, we're now on day 57 of the Israeli genocide on Gaza. More than 200 people have been killed, with 600 being injured In the last 24 hours, this after the 7-day genocide pause, what does it mean to take a pause in a genocide and then to return to right where you left off? Well, believe it or not, this is the world we are living in today. And during this pause, the U.S. made sure that the Zionist regime has been reloaded with the latest munitions, including the bunker-busting bomb, which is meant to penetrate hard surfaces at a depth